Welcome to episode 15 of the Pianofortissimo podcast with a truly special one. Sergei Prokofiev's music has been a defining part of my artistic journey. His bold, imaginative, and deeply expressive works have shaped my professional life, and I've had the privilege of recording some of his most amazing piano pieces as my debut CD recording back in 2011. But today we explore another side of the Prokofiev legacy, one that is just as creative, just as thought-provoking and deeply personal. My guest for this episode is Lina Prokofiev. Yes, you've heard it. The great granddaughter of the legendary composer. Born in Moscow in 1981, Lina moved to Paris with her family at the age of 9. Initially drawn to literature, she later studied graphic design in Paris and Brussels. Her professional career began in advertising and the press, but she soon found her true passion in photography, becoming a self-taught artist exhibiting in both Paris and Moscow. In 2018, she discovered the art of embroidery, a turning point that allowed her to reconnect with physical materials in a profound way. She began creating hybrid works where ink merges with beads and threads, forming compositions that feel organic, almost alive. Then, in 2022, she took another artistic leap, dedicating herself fully to painting. Her first series, Cartes sans territoire, Maps Without Territory, was unveiled in a solo exhibition in Paris, marking yet another evolution in her creative journey. Lina and I share a special connection, not just through the music, but through years of friendship. In this episode, we'll talk about her path, the inspiration behind her artworks, and what it means to carry such a famous name while forging a unique identity as an artist. And as a special treat, Lina and her family have generously prepared a giveaway for our listeners, which I'll reveal at the end of this episode, so stay tuned. Welcome to Pianofortissimo, the podcast where the world of classical music meets personal stories and professional insights. I'm your host, Alexandra Silocha, concert pianist and Bösendorfer artist for over 2 decades. Join me as we explore the intricacies of music careers, the artistry behind pianos and other instruments, dive deep with special guests from all corners of the arts, and uncover the nuances of cultural and self-management. Whether you're an aspiring musician, a performer, or simply a music lover, this podcast offers something for everyone. Lina, I'm so happy to have you with us today on the Pianofortissimo podcast. And to be honest, every time I look at you or we speak over the phone, there's a tiny split of a second where I still can't believe that I'm actually talking to you. And it's such a privilege to have this connection with someone from the Sergei Prokofiev's incredible legacy, as well as your own fascinating artistic journey. So welcome to my podcast.
Thank you, Alexandra. It's so great to do this with you. We've been friends for many years now, and we've always imagined to do something together about music, art. So I'm very happy that we managed to come to this opportunity and have this conversation. So thank you for having me.
Well, I was actually counting, and I remember when we first met each other, it was either end of 2010. Mm-hmm. Or beginning of 2011.
Yeah, it was in Paris, and I think you wrote to my father, And he forwarded me the email, and we met because you wanted to meet, and also...
I think I had already recorded my debut CD with Prokofiev's first 5 piano sonatas.
Yeah.
And I already had a
shooting, if I remember well.
It was very spontaneous, actually. We met and then you said, well, let's do some pictures. And that's what we did. And that's when it all started.
I have very vivid memories of that day. It was sunny. And yeah, it was really nice to, you know, create something, but with someone you just met, and it felt natural. So yeah.
For you, with someone you just met, for me, it was because you look so similar to Sergei. So for me, from the pictures, obviously, but for me, it was so natural and weird at the same time.
But yeah, it was I have wonderful memories. And then you came to the CD launch in London in 2000.
Yes. Yeah, it feels like another life already. If time flies, but I'm happy we can remember it today. So it's really nice.
Lina, what is it like growing up with the monumental family legacy of Sergei Prokofiev?
Well, it is monumental, but I always felt it like it's a privilege, really, an honor, and to have this incredible family story, because it's like a historical novel. There's so many things that have happened, so many traveling, creating, meeting people, and yeah, it's an immense pride for me, and I've never felt it like something hard, but yes, it's always been quite natural, but yeah, it's quite crazy when you think about it.
But was it like you always knew, or when you were, I don't know, a teenager and you suddenly realize where you come from? Or
I have always knew, probably because my family always told me about the story of my family, because it was important to share, to remember, to pass on. And there were photographs, portraits, and music, of course. So I think we do cherish a lot the remembering in my family. And it's important to, you know, take care of memories and of the past. So I feel like I've always knew. So that's why it feels quite natural. Yeah.
How has your family passed down the stories or memories of Sergei Prokofiev? And do you have any favorite anecdote?
Well, I never knew my great-grandfather, obviously, because he died a year before my father was born. But as I told you, I heard so much about him, his life, and that period of time. And my grandparents and my parents, they often told me about many different aspects of his life, being professional or personal or family. Or I think it's always been a kind of discussion, a dialogue with my family, and it's always been fascinating for me because it's like not a movie, but there's always something. His life was so rich of events and encounters, so you never get bored of, you know, you want to know more, and there is the music, so there's something else you can talk about, not only the life, but the music and the impact of music. And it's always been fascinating for us. And about the anecdote, there's one I like. It's not a secret. It's not something nobody knows. But he had a rooster when he came back to USSR. And he was living in Nikolina Gora, where he had his house. And so he had a rooster and probably other animals. And he named it Pyotr Ilyich in honor of Tchaikovsky. So I found it quite, you know, funny and quirky. So, yeah, I guess it's the one I thought about.
I wonder how he was shouting at him.
Yeah, it's funny. I can imagine the scene, Prokofiev being very serious. And
do you have, like, I mean, from what I've seen on YouTube and so on, there are recordings of him playing. So you can really hear him playing, but are there any like personal recordings where you can hear his voice?
I don't think so. It's a shame, actually, but you know, it was that period of time where it was not that accessible. So
do you feel a sense of responsibility to preserve his legacy?
Yeah, I think that in some way my family always explained me how important it is. It's not a duty, but it's something we should care about. And it's not really my profession or the field I work in, since I'm an artist, but I try to get involved in projects that are meant to preserve his memory. My father did that a lot, and I find it extraordinary what the things he's done to perpetuate the memory and the project that he initiated. So on my level, I try to get involved with the archives at Columbia University in New York. There are some things cooking, but unfortunately, I cannot say more about it. But
you can tell me afterwards.
Sure. And yeah, there's a lot to be done.
Yeah. Well, Lina, you are a photographer, a painter. You're an artist.
Yeah.
How does your artistic expression connect with the creativity legacy of your great grandfather?
I think in my understanding of your question, there's probably a deep sensitivity that needs to express itself through creation. And it's more a necessity to create rather than to simply do or execute, you know. I mean, I have nothing against that. I've been working when I was young as a graphic designer, executing. I love it. I mean, I'm good at it. But there was something more, and like a voice that cannot be silenced, even though it's not political, but there's something you need to get out of yourself, and you have to express it no matter what. So I guess there's something, this could be the connection, and I don't know, maybe DNA need to, you know. Yeah, to create something of your own.
Yeah, so I can totally relate to this. Have you ever found inspiration in Prokofiev's music, but for your own work? Is there something which inspired you to create a particular work or a particular...
Well, it reminds me that we wanted to do a project together.
We will still be doing it at some point. Yeah,
and I was thinking about it yesterday. I was like, maybe it will be, its time will come. So for my art, I haven't tried it yet, but I have this very visceral relationship to his music, and it's really even disturbing sometimes. But when I hear his music, I feel a state of great vulnerability and like an, you know, upheaval. It's really... It's almost physical. I have goosebumps, and it's as if every cell of my body was resonating with the music. Like, it's a calling, so my body responds to it. It's very weird. I can cry like very easily because I'm so, I don't know.
It takes you. On all levels.
Yeah, exactly. My response is really strong, so I'm not sure I'm ready to incorporate that into my own work, but I'm sure at some point I will get there.
How do you approach your creative process as a painter? Are there any subjects you feel particularly drawn to?
I love exploring. I need to discover things, be surprised, or I like the unpredictable. I want to create something that tells me something back. So it's like a dialogue, but and I need my practice to be very spontaneous and alive. So it's probably why I'm really inspired by nature, although it's not very original, but nature is so rich, so generous, and it's ever-changing, never the same, and you can go every day to the same place in the forest or wherever outside in the nature, and it will never be the same. So, yeah, I think it's great to have this source. I mean, it's endless. So probably that would be my answer. And also I like the... all things molecular, organic, like cells, seeds, like all forms of beginning of something. Of
I love that.
Yeah, I think I like the symbolic of it. And I know it comes in my work like often. Yeah.
When you say that, actually, I can see it also in your work as a photographer, the past works.
Yeah, yeah. Although more introspection, but I was drawn to all textures and things like that. It was, yeah.
Well, for my audience who's not on Instagram, because some of you are not there, but when you think of Lina Prokofiev, the great granddaughter, you might think this is an old lady. It's not.
Not yet.
You are invited to jump over on Instagram to see or to check her website and see what a gorgeous woman she is and a young mom. And I was thinking, how does a painter work? You have an idea in your mind, and the moment you can paint, you follow that line, or is something like you let yourself flow and see what happens? How does it work? Or is it every time differently?
Well, I never thought what it could be to be a mother artist. And I was quite surprised, because all that I knew until now, just it vanished. And I have to redefine and redesign, rethink and question my practice, because it's becoming a mother changed me a lot.
Mm-hmm. And
I've been struggling a little to get back to my practice, because everything has changed.
Mm.
Time, space, emotional availability. And so I need to adjust to this new me and discover what kind of artist I can be now. And so I think that I used to be very interested in fast working. I need to finish is quite fast. And now I'm thinking that maybe this could switch to something more slow and more constructed work.
Mm-hmm.
Take your time to research to paint. So I think I'm adjusting to that and to this new sense of time, the feeling.
The new time frame.
Yeah, exactly. It's completely different. And I'm very excited about it. It used to be like super frustrating at the beginning, but now I see that it's a gift to discover this new space, new approach. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And are you always happy with the finished painting? And when is the painting finished?
Oh, that's a great question, because I think I don't have the answer, actually. But it's good not to be happy all the time, you know. You shouldn't be happy, because otherwise it would mean that there's something wrong. But it's very satisfying to be happy with a piece. But I had this series of works from 21 to 23. It's called Carte sans territoire, map mm-hmm. territory. And I remember finding the first steps and understanding that I had something between my hands I wanted to explore, and I was ready, and there was plenty to explore. So that was really satisfying, because I knew almost each piece was good to me. Yeah, I was really happy about it. But you do have some time where you feel lost, and you have to find, you have to construct, you have to define the new vision and find new intentions also. So,
mm-hmm.
But no, I'm not happy all the time. And I think it's good, you know.
It's healthy.
It forces you to question your practice and your intentions, and that what makes you go further.
Each mm. yeah. And how does one separate from a painting once it's sold? Is it something you hold dear to your heart, or
you know, there's an easy
done, it's done.
No, there's an easy answer to that. Those I love, I don't sell. But I sold a lot actually when I did my first exhibition, and it was a huge surprise for me to have so much interest in my work. And I was really happy, because it's what paintings are meant to be, you know, to find a new home. And I think I never struggled with, you know, separating from my art, because there's the pride coming out of a sale. It means that he mm-hmm. meant something to someone else. than you, and it's priceless. So yeah, but I do keep some works for myself because I need to keep them. Maybe at some point I will sell them, but I have it on my own.
So you have your special self-collection.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming back to your great-grandfather, his most famous works are well known, but are there any lesser known pieces of his that you think deserve more attention or which are so special to your heart?
Well, that's tricky because, to be honest, I haven't heard everything from Prokofiev, and I'm not ashamed to say it because he composed a lot of music and some of it is less accessible, I think. And you cannot listen to everything in a row. So I think maybe some pieces are less known because they are so incredibly modern. And in a way, the audience is not really ready to hear them. There's less demand. It's like, and at the same time, people like to hear the most famous ones. So, but personally, I've always loved the Piano Concerto number 2. And the overture on Hebrew themes.
Yes.
One, especially on minute one, there is a small passage really at minute one. It's so cinematic, it's so modern, and I love it so much. And it's only that in the whole piece, it's just like 10 seconds, and and I love it. Sometimes I play back and forth because it's, oh, it really resonates in me. So yeah.
Have you encountered moments when people recognize your connection to Sergei Prokofiev? Especially, I mean, you live in France, your name is spelled differently with double F.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Has this impacted your life?
Well, not that much, but it's true that people do see the connection. And but it's funny because it's always Peter and the Wolf. It's like the big winner of Prokofiev, you know. And you feel that this piece truly left a mark on the childhood of many people. And it's always great memories. I often hear people like, oh, it was great, I loved it, I heard it so many times. And so it's really nice to hear that, but I'm like, there's a part of me who wants to scream like, there's so much more to promote than in the Wolf. I mean, it's a great start because you can start young, but I mean, we do share some childhood memories with Peter, so that's really it's really nice to hear that.
But I imagine now you playing Peter and the Wolf to your baby.
We'll probably do that. I'm really, I can't wait. Yeah, to share that.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you balance embracing your family heritage while carving out your own identity as an artist and as a mother, as a new mother?
Well, actually, my art has nothing to do with music. I mean, not directly. So there's really not that much pressure, unless I don't feel it that way. I have often been told to, you know, do something in relation with his music, but I haven't arrived at that point yet. Maybe together we will.
I have big plans.
Yeah, but I feel at home as an artist, even if my great-grandfather was an artist. But it's the right place for me. And as a mother, I hope to, you know, to pass on this incredible story and, yeah, to share it with my kid and as my grandparents did. And, you know, it will be, I think it will be a nice moment. We have, you know, some pictures, and there's a lot of archives. So, and there's the music. So that's amazing.
Yeah. So you never felt pressure or expectations because of your family name?
No, I don't. I never did. I've been encouraged to find my own way But I think I've always tried to cultivate a sense of personal discipline in a way to honor, you know, the legacy and the immense talent grandfather was and is still. So, but that's on me. I mean, it's my own pressure, you know, and it's not really a pressure. It's just the way I want to lead my life. So the family name is extraordinary, and I feel lucky to carry it.
And what role does music play in your everyday life? Do you find yourself listening to Prokofiev, or do you prefer something else? And if so, what is it?
Well, it's funny because when I was pregnant and the months that followed, I was totally unable to listen to music. I was crying all the time. I was so sensitive, and it was really hard because I love listening to music. And I was like, when can I listen to music again? You know, because I've been bathing in music since I was a child. So,
did you play an instrument when you were younger?
Yeah, my dad tried to put me behind the piano. I tried hard a long time, and well, it didn't really work out, but I have regrets. I really do. Probably at some point, I will maybe go back to piano or just take lessons. But it's usually a regret you have when you're grown up, you know. Yeah, I loved piano, and I loved singing also. I took singing classes. But regarding the music, yes, it was all over my childhood. My father is a huge music lover, and he introduced me to so much different types. So today, my sensitivity really navigates between rock music, industrial metal music like Nine Inch Nails, which is loud and crazy and amazing, electronic music, and lately I'm more into ambient and atmospheric music. No words, no singing, no voice, just like something that fills the space. And that's what I need to work, actually, just to create an ambiance. So, but I also enjoy jazz and classical music, so yeah. But regarding Prokofiev, I prefer to listen to his music live, because it needs to be experienced with your whole soul and body. I think it's so amazing to hear perform. Yeah, so
I have a vivid memory of I don't know if you came to a concert to London when Vladimir Yurovsky conducted the London Philharmonic, but I know that your father came. I think also your mom, but I'm not sure anymore. But it was like the Prokofievs are coming.
Oh my god! Here, I don't remember, but
it must have been something around 2012, 13, 14. Something
I had just moved to Belgium, so maybe, yeah.
And there was something like I knew some of you were coming. But there was you could cut the air with a knife because it was so special, not only because of the music and the entire atmosphere in the concert hall, but because everybody knew you were coming. And I mean, where can you see somebody from the past carrying the legacy? This is not something you see every day, unless it's a contemporary composer, but not somebody from that kind of legacy today.
Yeah, I see what you mean, but at the same time, I'm always very surprised by the reactions
people I think you're not aware of.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm nobody.
You're normal. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's strange. So I'm always a bit confused. Like, okay, well, I'm happy to be, but you know, yeah, I can understand. I guess it can be considered as a normal reaction. So yeah, why not?
Lina, are there any upcoming projects or artistic plans you're working on that you'd like to share with us?
Well, as I said, I'm coming from a busy year since I gave birth in 2024. So I'm starting as a blank canvas, really. I want to reconnect with my artistic practice, but still I do have wishes and goals, and one of them is working on large formats.
Mm-hmm.
Something I haven't done yet, and it's really scary, but it's very exciting at the same time. So yeah, I would like to get familiar with other dimensions and see where it can lead me. And I'd love to at some point have an exhibition, because it's so great to confront your audience. I guess as a performer, you know that at some point you have to play live. I mean, you don't have to, but you enjoy
mm-hmm.
confronted to this atmosphere, this moment, and this the vibe, the energy of a live concert. So I think it's a bit, yeah, similar to what I need. And it's great to meet people and to see their reaction. It helps you to go further and further and to improve your practice. So I'm mm-hmm. looking forward for this kind of things this year. Yeah.
But it is something completely different. And I don't know how, on an energy level, how this works, because in a, you know, as the performer, it can become something amazing or not, just because of the energy you're getting back from the audience.
Mm-hmm.
As a painter, you're by yourself in that moment in time, and then you present it as a finished work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different steps and different energies, but much, I think, much more involvement from yourself, just yourself and your inspiration. And then the audience reacts to the finished canvas.
Yeah, and it's true that for a live performance, it's a bit different, because people are waiting after you. For me, they come, they're curious, they watch, they usually, mm-hmm, it's nice, thank you, bye. But it's my own need to confront. I crave this moment where I stand still and I'm like, okay, this is me, it's all in, and let's go, you know? And but still, it's a thrill. Yeah, I wish it to myself for the next years. Yeah.
Well, we have to plan an exhibition in Vienna.
Yeah, we have much to discuss, I think.
If you could have a conversation with Sergei Prokofiev, what would you ask him or say to him?
You know, this question, it's really amazing, because I never thought about it. But I love it, absolutely. And there would be so much to say. I'd probably be very intimidated, that's for sure, because I think he was very...
How was he as a human being, actually? Now I stopped you again, but it's...
No problem. I think he was really so much driven by his creation that he had not much time for anything else except chess, because he was a huge fan of chess. I think he was like really serious about what he was doing. So he was disciplined and focused. So I would be intimidated, because, you know, all that I know about him now, but I would probably ask him what he would have wanted to compose, you know, what were his plans before he died, because there's probably so much great music missing since he died too young. I mean,
yeah, he died in 1953.
Yeah. So he was young. I mean, well, that's the way it is. But I would be curious if he had like creative projects in mind already.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know. But also on a more personal level, I would probably ask him what he dreams about at night, because I'm very curious about what people see in their dreams, and probably ask him to play me something on the piano. Yeah.
But see, this is exactly in the same direction as the wooden book. You want to hear what he would have dreamt of in his sleep. And he asked in his guest book what people were thinking about the sun.
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting question to get to know somebody very fast and also have a small memory of their encounter. So rather than just ask for a signature or something. Yeah. So no, it was an amazing project he had, and this wooden book is also an amazing project that my father initiated. So yeah, it is.
It's gorgeous.
Very inspiring. Yeah.
Very inspiring. Yeah. As a last question, Lina, what message would you like to share with our listeners who admire your great grandfather's work, but also your artistry?
Well, keep listening to Prokofiev music, because I think it's so rich. It has so much to deliver. It's so bold. It's so surprising each time. It's endless. I mean, you could listen to it for a very long time without getting bored. Not a second, you know. It will never disappoint you. And as for me, well, my journey is just beginning, so... Well, stay tuned. I really hope to keep going. And art is a tricky thing. There's a sentence I like. It's art is a dirty job, but somebody has got to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I hope to do that job as long as I can.
Lina, thank you so much. It has been a joy to have you with us. Thank you so much for being here. And I look forward to seeing you very, very soon in Paris.
Thank you. Thank you for your invitation. Thank you for this great project. It's so amazing to see you navigate all these different mediums and have such great guests. And I was very honored to be your guest this time. And I really look forward to seeing you in real life very soon.
What a fascinating journey through art, memory, and identity with Lina Prokofiev. Her work is a testament to the power of creativity and introspection, and I'm truly grateful to her for sharing her story with us today. And now I'm beyond excited to share a truly exceptional giveaway, our first actually, generously offered by Lina and her family. This is a unique opportunity to try your luck at winning Sergei Prokofiev's journals from 1903 to 1918 and 1919 to 1933, in their original language, Russian, including rare photographs. So, even if you don't speak Russian, this is an extraordinary piece of history, a window into the mind of one of the most remarkable composers of the 20th century. Owning these journals is a privilege, and I personally want to express my deepest gratitude to Lina and her family for making this possible for my audience. All you have to do to enter is head to Instagram and find the giveaway post on one of our accounts, Lina Prokofiev, Alexandra Siloja, or Pianofortismo Podcast. Follow the instructions there and you might just become the lucky owner of this rare and invaluable collection. Good luck and thank you for being part of this special episode of the Pianofortismo Podcast. See you next time. Thanks for listening. This was Alexandra Siloja from Pianofortissimo. Don't forget to subscribe, share with fellow music enthusiasts, follow us on your favorite social media, and most importantly, worry less and let the music flow.